Here we are, episode number 11 of Agricultural Acts. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Jeff, your host of Agricultural Acts. We've got Dieter from Indian Ladder Farms, Scott and Alex from Indian Ladder Farms.
I feel like we're from, everyone knows we're from Indian Ladder Farms.
We don't know if people are just tuning in for episode number 11 for the first time ever and are going to be so overwhelmed with this episode that they go back and start at episode one.
Like, who the hell is this?
We don't know.
Jeff, keep going. You're doing great.
We've got our executive producer going by the name of Ian today. I don't know. That's weird.
I know. And our, for the pizza.
Our special guests for part number two of this multi-part series. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Rick Sicari from Albany Distilling Company.
Dun, 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 dun.
We learned all about you. We learned all about your family, your education.
Hates his brother.
That you hate your brother, Frank. It's a movement online. There are parades for I Hate Frank.
A real evil twin.
Real.
Is he evil? Twins. We haven't discussed whether he's evil or not.
He's terrible, I can tell you that.
Terrible. Okay, so he's starting a distillery called Terrible Twin.
Oh, catchy.
He would do that. He would do that, wouldn't he? I didn't even know this, Frank, but it sounds like he'd do that.
He's the worst.
Terrible Twin, we are the Albany Distilling of Troy. That would be there.
Oh,
that would be there.
River, no less.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He totally opened it in Troy. Yeah. But
problem,
we know.
Problem with Frank trying to start a distillery is he's a jerk and an idiot. He doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah. He'd be serving toilet water.
Yeah.
That's what he'd be serving.
Stupid Frank.
So we got to the part where you're with Johnny Law now. You've come into Albany Distilling. It's 2014. Is where we left off. And by the way, because I know most people have probably tuned in for the next round of IKEA product or Scandinavian author.
More?
That will be happening during part two of this.
I feel like, for me,
yeah.
Episode 11 is way drunker than episode 10.
No.
Yeah.
We've
no.
come we've come
it works,
to find,
baby.
Yeah. Round two is it just turns into cacophony.
Well, we've had 2 hours of pizza and time to dry out.
That was good pizza. Can we give that pizza place a shout out?
Yes,
we could our friends Via Fresca. They're from Altamont, and they're customers here at the farm. We love them.
We just want tomato pie. That's all.
We didn't take any LSD during the intermission, so you know we're good.
why would you stop looking at me like that? Jeff.
Why would you feel the need to say that?
Did I? Was that out loud?
Megan, edit.
So we're at 2014. You hate your brother at this point.
Still.
And now it's 2021.
He's checking.
The location is right there in downtown Albany, Quackenbush Square at this point.
Yep, 78 Montgomery Street. Neil Evans from the Albany Pump Station is our landlord, and he has... We really wouldn't be a business if it wasn't for Neil Evans. And he's taken a chance on us.
In 2014, there's you. There's Johnny Law. You're doing the distilling.
Yeah, but by the end of 2014, we bring in our head distiller, who's still our head distiller now, is Lucian Shallon.
And you would be, from what I understand, this relationship absolutely lost without him here in 2021.
Luke? Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah. The whole company.
You guys would be screwed right now.
So it's funny. We were doing our goals for 2021 recently, because who wouldn't do their goals for 2021 in May? But one of the main goals of the three goals that we had was to keep Luke happy.
Nice. That's good that you recognize that, and as an employer, want to make sure he's happy. What does it take to make Luke happy?
Still trying to figure that out.
I have a good idea. Buy him another late 30s tow truck.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Late 30s tow
That's
truck?
What he's into?
He's got was it a late 30s or early 40s Ford tow truck.
So he
We call that tow mater.
He actually...
It's like tow mater without the tuh.
He actually took a Winnebago and cut off the back of it. Welded on a sleeping car and then a trailer. And
wait, was that?
I said why? He said, well, because I can.
Was that Winnebago the one that him and his wife took on their honeymoon?
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Luke is.
That was like Uncle Rico's. That was like Uncle Rico's van from Napoleon Dynamite.
He's trying to say that Luke is more than handy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the guy that has like nine awesome. Wood-burning stoves in his house, right? Is
so
this the same guy?
He has nine wood-burning stoves in his house. He actually also just built a greenhouse that he kept at 80 degrees all summer long. Heated it with a wood stove, piped it into some type of God knows what, and it was like with water heating this greenhouse. This is
the distiller you want to keep happy.
He's a freak. He is as much as I hate Frank, I love Luke.
Okay. All right, that's good contrast.
Whoa, Luke,
now
that's
we can
a
understand.
Lot of love, baby.
It's a lot of love.
And a lot of hate.
He is amazing.
And
yeah.
a lot of hate Luke for Frank.
He's got Rick's got balance in his life.
Peter, so I will say, about? He does have a gasoline-powered fork truck.
There's
it's
no
really
such,
big.
There's no such thing.
In Luke's house?
Yeah,
I do.
Luke's house?
Listen, after this story, I want to go to Luke's
well,
house.
I remember when he was
absolutely.
Telling me that
did you
that
say
his
absolutely?
Absolutely.
I think you did.
If I didn't, I should have.
I remember when he was telling me that his neighbors were getting angry because he had too many vehicles on his lawn, or is almost becoming a junkyard.
Yeah.
But he was doing everything. He was doing donuts in the lawn with El Camino. And
see that? See that might have been more of what they're upset about.
Nah.
Well, I think
Luke Duke's a great dude.
Yeah, I think currently he has a Corvette and a half in his yard.
A Corvette and a half.
Yeah,
really.
It's almost like Cyrus from Trailer Park Boys.
I can't believe
that kind of.
It's a Corvette. Ed.
Yeah.
A what?
A Corvette. At
a Corvette. At?
It's a Corvette and a half.
So I can't
Corvette.
Vet? Where is he located? Is he on this side of the river?
What is that?
West Milton.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. So that's this side of
where?
The river.
West Milton.
Well,
I won't give his exact address because he would be very
fair.
Upset.
Yeah,
fair
no, don't do that.
Plus, there'd be plenty of cameras went by the time you show up.
Because
Luke keeps his bunker really tight.
So you've got Johnny Law, you got yourself, Rick Sicari, and Luke over there. 2014, yep. The end of 2014. You're in it's a beautiful spot, but you needed more space.
Needed more space, so we decided to buy a building on Livingston Ave in downtown Albany. The original plan was to move the whole distilling operations over there. It's this really crazy building where it was the stable for the Nabisco factory, where the roof had collapsed, and talking shipping containers with Dieter, Johnny wanted to put all these shipping containers out there and distill in it. But the problem
we
was...
We should have talked earlier.
Yeah, well, the problem really was, as soon as we opened this place up, everyone loved the outdoor patio, so we were like, all right, we can't put distilling equipment in here. Let's just leave that as our kind of outdoor patio. So now, 7-8 years after that, we have now bought a new building to move the whole distillery.
Nice. So, all right, when you bought 75 Livingston Ave, you knew Dieter.
Oh, yeah.
How far back does this relationship
I've
go?
I've always known Dieter.
Oh, really?
It's true. We hadn't met, but...
Well, he owns the Hop Growers Handbook. Don't you, Rick?
I've always known Dieter. Actually, I think I met Dieter when Chuck Schumer came to the distillery.
I think I have photos.
I think that was the time.
Yeah.
So I saw you up there.
Old Chuck Shue.
Talking about farming. And
old Chuck
Shue. Man.
What's wrong with this guy?
He is adorable.
Now, Chuck Schumer, a big supporter of, and a good reason as to why you both are able to do what you do. Is that right? Fill us in on how New York politics work with farms and distilleries.
Chuck has been a great supporter. I don't know that he has any direct, you know, influence on the New York State. He's more federal. So he's helped us out on the federal sense. But, you know, it's been pretty much the governor's office and...
That's where you go, PT, right? Paul Tonko?
Mr. Tonko is... well, again, he's... Again, that's federal, but, you know, Paul Tonko's been a great supporter of, you know, and, you know, hardest working man in Congress, no less, you know. It's like, you can call...
HMMC?
You can call Mr. Tonko, and he's coming to your event, and, you know, he's already been to 30 events.
Yeah, right, in 1 hour.
He's amazing. Amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's totally amazing.
How does he do it?
I have no idea. He has more. If I had like a quarter of the energy that Paul Tonko has, I'd be way further along.
And so what was the year that it kind of all opened up in the state of New York for farms, for distilleries?
2007, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that far back.
Yeah, okay. Because they start talking about it. It doesn't happen right away, but there's a lot of movement towards it happening. I mean, it's sort of, you know, Cuomo comes in and kind of, he kind of makes it his own. But it was already fomenting, you know, in the legislature.
Some would say it was already brewing.
Brewing.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. See, did you see how you, see, that's why we had him on here. He was able to bring that back around.
Right.
Brewing beer.
And so the whole idea behind this in 2007 is to give, to keep farms alive, or maybe open up some farms that have shut down and are fallen down in order to keep things local to New York and allow you to do more products and serve more products.
That's the altruistic way to say it, but it's about tax revenue, isn't it?
Well, sure. Absolutely.
They saw what the wine industry did, which was, you know, they gave all these incentives to the wine industry, and it turned into this $1 billion, you know, thing for New York State for tourism and agriculture, and it was a fantastic thing. So, you know, when the proposals were put out there for, you know, farm distilling and farm brewing, it's just like all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer, right? This is just more money to New York State, because people don't think of New York State as an agricultural state, but we're a pretty big agricultural state.
Absolutely. You come north of Poughkeepsie or so, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
I think you're selling yourself short though with a billion, because we just had an economic impact study done for the distilling industry. $4.4 billion.
I know. I'm like Dr. Evil. Oh, $1 million.
But Dieter, why have billions when we can have millions?
Wait,
no, Rick's right.
So $4.5 billion.
So the New York craft distilling industry. So distilleries like mine and others across the state.
Distilleries like mine and a couple others.
Did I mention we've been drinking?
So it was the pizza.
Distilleries stuff. Like mine and other distilleries in New York State create $4.4 billion worth of economic activity.
Yeah, it's incredible.
A year?
Per year.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, so you're right. It's all about the tax. It's all about the revenue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's huge money.
Well, we're, you know what, the fourth populous state, right?
So right behind Rhode Island, Wyoming, Vermont, and Alaska.
Montana.
So yeah, just to, you know, just where are all the drinkers in the populous states?
Well, there's six of them right here. So how does this, is this the same sort of
use
reason
fingers,
that you were six. Able to explain to us how 75 Livingston Ave, the tasting room, came about? Because I know there was some... the mayor was there. And it wasn't just because a new business was opening in a warehouse district, but there was funding made available.
Yeah. With the Farm Distilling Act, again, breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries all get kind of privileges that normal businesses would not. So we received quite a bit of grant money. You know, our tax revenue is lower, although it's still generated. But we got the building for a very good price. We don't have to pay property taxes on it for X amount of time. But again, we're rehabbing a building that really was decrepit for probably 20 years before we moved in.
And look what's going on in that neighborhood now. The Capitol Repertory Theater is opening or open at this point.
The construction's done.
Yeah, and it's just I look back to the time when you showed us the building. I think you said, and I didn't know you at the time, Dieter, but we were sitting out in that courtyard having a bonfire in that courtyard.
And smoking a lot of weed.
You had said, so what do you think? Should we have this an area where we hang out, or should we put shipping containers in here? And I think I shut down the shipping container.
I think actually that's probably why we didn't do the shipping container.
That's how we were able to get ours cheap.
Nice.
You should buy Central Warehouse and just a massive distillery.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so that has revitalized that neighborhood. You were the one willing to take the risk over there, and it's so far so good. But there's rules that go along with getting that money that you have to follow, not just Albany Distilling Company, but the farm too. So I want to talk about those things. What are the stipulations? You got to check the boxes. What are those boxes?
Yeah, so with our farm products, which is largely the Ironweed whiskey that we make, we are required to use at least 75% New York State grain. We kind of took the idea and we said, well, we're not going to cut corners and only put it in 75%. So we use all New York State grain with the whiskey that we make.
And you have an exclusive provider for the grain?
For the most part, our grain comes from Westwind Farms, which is in Rensselaer County.
Scatacoke.
I mean, why wouldn't you go?
Mrs. McDermott,
right?
75% of the shipping, all of the dealing with multiple companies, why not just get it all one place and as local as possible?
That's what I'm saying. So basically when I say the majority or almost all of our grain comes from this farm, every once in a while we need to kind of like either she doesn't have it or we need to get oats or we need to get wheat that they might not. And of course I'll call Dieter and say, who's got oats? And Dieter can kind of...
And he can say, not us.
Connect, yeah.
You want spelt? We got spelt.
Dieter's definitely... So
we got oats, but you can't have any.
Yeah. Nice try, nerd.
So we make them all whiskey. That's 20% oat. And every, you know, couple times a year, we run into that. Rachel doesn't have it over at Westwind. And I say, yeah. And Dieter's definitely my guy of like, where can I get this? And he's always going to find it for me.
Dieter's got a guy.
I know a guy.
Yeah.
That's why Rick calls. He said, do you know a guy? He's like, I don't know. What do you need, a crane operator? I what's over across the street?
Gas-powered fork truck.
Yeah.
But to your point, Jeff, I called Dieter. His guy is still a New York farmer. Mm. I am still going to get all of my grain from New York State Farms. It's really just, you know, I try to stick with Westwind the best I can.
So on top of the grain, what are some of the other regulations you got to follow?
For New York State specific?
It's a little different for distillers than it is for brewers and cider makers.
Tell us what your stipulations are here.
For cider for us, it's...
you don't know.
You know, for apples, it's 100% New York State from day one. I mean, that was...
That ain't hard to find, though.
Being on an apple orchard, that was easy for us to fulfill. But for breweries, it started out at 20% and then went to 60%, which it currently is at. And then it's supposed to, in 2024, go to 90%. And that means that 90% of the hop bill and 90% of the grain bill have to come from New York State.
That's so awesome, right? I mean, it was a good
ramp up because, you know, when we first started, a lot of farmers, we didn't really have a hop industry at all in New York State. I mean, there were a few hop farms, but, you know, nothing serious that could produce enough hops for the number of breweries that were starting. And the same with, with barley, you know, it's like we were just actually Dennis Nelson was here yesterday and we were just talking about this. He owns Hudson Valley Malt, which you know, we get some of our malt from. And I know you've gotten some in the past from Dennis as well.
Cowboy Dennis
was here picking up some coir for his little hop yard. But you know, when we first started looking at this, like in 2010 or so, and you started talking to barley farmers in New York State, and they were like, yeah, how much are you going to take your little malt house? And he's like, yeah, we'd like a few super sacks a month. And, you know, they're like, yeah, we deal in railroad cars.
You're listening to episode 11 of Agricultural Acts. Rick Sicari, our special guest, Dieter, Scott, Alex from Indian Ladder Farms, executive producer Ian. Scott is getting bored over here. He has fashioned a cup holder out of his locks. His dreadlocks are holding his beer mug, and I'm very impressed with that. But since you're bored enough to do that, I think it's time for another round of IKEA product or
author.
Scandinavian author.
Author.
You're going to guess author right off the bat. I'll tell you what the name is, and then you can guess, the rest of you. Kivik. K-I-V-I-K. K-I-V-I-K. Is that an IKEA product or a Scandinavian author?
It's
Scott, you already said author.
Scandinavian.
Yeah, you did. You're out. You said author.
Well, Quike is, it's pronounced Quike, but it's yeast.
K-I-V-I-K is pronounced Quike?
K-V-I-E-K.
I think you were onto something when you said that's the LSD during the intermission.
they were mild.
Also known as Voss yeast.
Would anyone else like to take a guess?
So it's neither yeast or an author. I'm going to say it's what they call the little meatballs.
Oh, God, those little meatballs.
My little meatball.
I'll be your little meatball all day long, as long as I can.
I have to go for IKEA.
It's a pillow?
I'm going to go with IKEA, and I'm going to go with duvet again.
You're sticking with duvet.
Yeah. We're going to keep on playing this game until I get my goddamn duvet cover.
You're so close. It is an IKEA product. It's a sofa. It's a sofa.
It's not close at all. This is stupid.
It's a sofa.
For some reason, I thought in my head that
a sofa king duvet.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Now, if you had ordered it, and you were thinking you were going to get a sofa, but you got a lot of little meatballs, would you be upset?
I was going to say no.
They do offer shipping on those now, don't they?
They do. You can get those.
Yeah, I believe they freeze them. They ship them. Available to your home. This show is not brought to you by IKEA, but I kind of wish we had that money coming in.
It's going to be brought to you by Little Meatballs, though.
You know, they're an amazing business model, actually, right? Everybody familiar with the business model? They own the forest. They own from seed to store, everything.
Well, they grow the trees.
It's farm to table.
He already knew that.
It's farm to table.
They use that wood to create their products.
Literally, farm to
table. Yeah, wow. It is.
Thank
well
you, IKEA.
Done.
I hope they can sponsor the next
well
podcast.
Yeah, I really like those tiny little meatballs.
I know you do.
That's the only reason I go to IKEA.
Did you like this cider?
Yeah. Yeah, so Alex, the cider producer here at Indian Ladder Farms. So I look at this bottle, beautiful, 750 milliliter.
950 milliliter.
Yeah. bourbon barrel
aged. Sorry, we got you on that one the other day.
So my hope would be that if I spin this label, I see that the Albany Distilling Company logo is on here somewhere.
Keep spinning.
Because, I spun it the wrong way.
Yeah. You actually have to peel up the label.
There it is,
the
right there.
You need a magnifier.
So, is this what you were referring to in episode 10? You screwed up. You called Rick and said, "Hey, bail me out." Is that
no? So I had a cider that I needed to be distilled down just to save it and not let it be such a loss, which hasn't been done yet. But I also have used Albany Distilling barrels in the past, and I finally came to the idea. I was like, we haven't done like a genuine collaboration where it was like we put the logo on the bottle and it's just all about a bourbon barrel aged cider, and it's just Albany Distilling and Indian Ladder Farms, and it's not some sort of thing that we just there's more of a story behind it. And so that's what we did, and I got some barrels from Rick, and here we are.
So the barrel.
I hope you're happy.
Super tasty.
It's delicious.
It's
fantastic.
Very good.
Cheers.
Yeah.
The barrel, Rick, how many times can you use a barrel?
One time.
And then you got a lot of barrels to get rid of.
Oh,
he has quite the bonfire.
Boy, howdy.
But that's where these
howdy.
Guys come in, because they can use those barrels.
Yeah.
We'll take barrels.
So how many times, Scott, you use those barrels? Haven't in a while?
I've used a lot of Rick's barrels.
All right.
I've used a lot of his barrels.
We've done
a porter in bourbon barrel. No, bourbon barrels. Then we did IPA and double IPA and rye barrels. Then what else did we do? We did stouts in bourbon barrels.
Well, the coolest thing we did was we have a malt whiskey is predominantly malted barley, but also wheat and oat in it. So at the distillery, at the brewery, we did, you guys made the mash, you did the boil, and then we pulled half of it and put it in our still and distilled it and put it into a whiskey barrel. And then Scott took the other half and continued to added hops to it and made it into beer. So it was one batch of beer that really became both whiskey and beer.
How many times can you use the barrels that you get from Rick?
Oh, I just keep going.
Over and over again. It's the same deal for you, Alex?
after three turns, you start losing that beautiful character that his whiskey imparts into it. But I'm on the second turn of this bourbon barrel, and it's still holding strong. But I have four Chardonnay barrels, and like I'm on my fourth turn on them. They're kind of starting to. There's definitely a lot of character in it, but they're starting to drop out.
Those barrels.
It's like after the fourth turn, it's like you kind of you just say goodbye.
Those Chardonnay barrels will end up turning into wild beer production barrels.
Fun.
Yeah. Or they're gonna collect water for.
Jeff, I need them for under my gutters. So, but I wonder at the time that we're recording this podcast, it's all over the news. Crazy the cost of lumber. And so you burn through barrels, literally. And so
he's stressed out just thinking about it right now. Let's move on to a different topic because Rick is sweating.
I think it's important that people know what you go through.
The reason we can only use the barrels once is, you know, my kind of analogy is steeping tea, right? When we age whiskey in a barrel, what we are after is all the barrels have been burned on the inside, so there's, you know, certainly
what
a layer.
What kind of char number do you guys go with?
Do you guys go with the char number three?
Did you know that I have a manatee tea steeper? It's a manatee.
You didn't need to tell me that you have a manatee tea steeper.
And you said I come into this podcast with random shit.
I think that's important.
Sorry,
that
I just got to point that out.
I think
out.
It's very important that people know that manatee is available for their steeping.
Think about it, making this connection. You take a manatee tea steeper.
Yes.
And you put tea leaves in your hot cup of water, and
first,
you make a delicious cup of tea.
First cup is amazing.
Sure. Yeah. If you took that manatee tea steeper and moved those tea leaves to another cup of water, it's going to be more dilute.
Yeah, that manatee can go fuck itself behind its back.
You're going to get very little manatee taste.
And probably does. However, with us, what we are after with our level 3 char.
Oh, my God, I love the number 3.
We take a whiskey barrel that has been charred in the inside. Of course, you know, when they burn the inside of these barrels.
It's all the vanillin.
Who's they? Yes.
Oh, it's
the Cooper.
Them. It's them.
The Wizard, Cooper.
Yeah, wizards, magicians.
Yeah. The tiny little people go inside there. They have a bonfire.
And they just...
boom. Cool. That's fun. People need to know.
They're called Coopers, and we're going to have a Cooper on the show.
We will in a previous episode of Agricultural Acts.
Keep going, Rick.
A subsequent episode.
All right, so you got
burn the inside of the barrel, but behind the layer of char... after they burn those barrels, is a layer of caramelized oak. No different than caramelizing onions. So you take onions, you heat them on a stove, they kind of start to cook and they turn brown and they become much sweeter. They create a chemical compound called vanillin. Same thing happens in a barrel. You are burning the barrel, you're creating caramelized oak, and that's what we are after. So the whiskey sits in these barrels for 4 years. It brings the caramelized oak into the whiskey, and then it's gone. We're not going to use that same barrel or that same tea bag for subsequent batches. Nah.
but then...
Easy Rod. Yes.
What we leave in the barrels is whiskey. So when we give our whiskey barrels to Alex... Alex is going after the whiskey that
I robbed the whiskey out of the barrel.
He's pulling
it
back.
It goes into my cider. And that's what you're drinking right now.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's just right.
It's a balance of cider and you can tell that there's barrel character and there's whiskey character in there, and it is just I'm honestly delightful. You know, I look up to you, Rick, so I'm super happy that you've done this.
Well,
like,
cheers.
Well, you guys are like the same height. I don't really look up to him.
Cheers.
He has like eye to eye.
Point, Scott. Is this something that, so he's got to get rid of the barrels. You love this product. You're enamored. I see like diamonds in your eyes, like you're an emoji when you look at him.
Yeah. That's right.
That's Handsome Rick.
So is this something we can expect to be regularly available
here?
Please, dear God, buy all my barrels.
Absolutely. So we did this before. We had Albany Distilling rye barrels, and they sat for like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And this was probably a year ago. Yeah. No, yeah. No.
You want to throw up my hands right now? Oh. No, there's no
somehow,
mold in there, I swear.
No, there but wasn't.
It
somehow,
had nothing to do with the mold. Alex forgot that he even did it. It was year and a half, 2 years
I don't
later,
even know if I filled those.
Oh, hey, I remember that barrel that I
got
from you a long time ago?
No, I don't think I filled those barrels. It was before I started here.
Oh, yeah.
It was a
and
co-op
so,
guy.
But we were getting rid of barrels. We had this huge slew of barrels, and there were these two Albany Distilling barrels, and I was like, I got to taste this. And I took a taste, and it was the most bright, clear, beautiful rye whiskey cider that was in these barrels, and it was like 13%, and it was lethal. It was so good, and so we blended it with like a couple gallons of cider just to bring it down to like 9%, and we bottled it, and I think within a month and a half, 2 months, it was gone.
Oh yeah,
probably had 20 cases of it.
So fast.
It was what? 60 gallons of cider, we blew through it, and so I was like, all right, we got to do this on the real level and like actually, you
yeah,
know,
we gotta make, more
make
of this
an official thing instead of like, oh, we just did a barrel-aged cider and not mention anybody. So I was like, let's, you know, give homage to Albany Distilling and let's do something real. So I was like, all right, I want bourbon barrels. Let's do it, you know.
There's got to be a level of loyalty that goes along with it. So you've got all these barrels, but you don't want to just be whoring them out to anybody that'll take them and say they're going to do something with them.
I ain't no whore. No, of course.
Not with your slick back hair. I don't know about that slick back hair.
I ain't no whore. No, absolutely. I think for us, it's a tight industry. There's good people. You know, if I'm going to work with anybody, I would like to work with people that I enjoy working with, people that I know is going that's going to make good product. So working with Indian Ladder is just a...
I made you very proud, Pop.
Yeah.
He made me proud.
No, and I think
it's a logical choice.
I think that's why you've become so popular throughout the Capital Region and beyond, and we wish you nothing but continued growth because of that loyalty to working with Indian Ladder Farms and now with the DeFazio pizza coming in too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Are you kidding me?
You dropped some, Jeff.
You dirty dog.
Man, I'm excited about DeFazio's
pizza.
Give me
back that shoe.
That's incredible.
Wait, what are you talking about?
So at the Bar and Bottle Shop, 75 Livingston Ave, they had this hallway/garage ramp area that I guess you couldn't really figure out what you were going to do with that space.
Yeah, it was dead space.
And you've got people there, and the food, the kitchen, very tough to do. You were doing amazing Hot Pockets and the what was it? Cucks and hummus.
Excuse me?
That was a blow the belt one.
What? What
those? Dude, you're making Hot Pockets
over
there.
The Hot Pockets
were
awesome.
They were, well, here's
they
the thing.
They were awesome.
And I will absolutely pay all my respects to Pharmacy up in Glens Falls. They made these like really awesome farm to table Hot Pockets.
Empanadas? Yeah.
Were they Hot Pockets or were they like
They were
beef
fucking
patties?
Hot Pockets. They were Hot Pockets. They were so delicious.
Right. Yeah, they were fantastic.
But you
didn't have the space. You couldn't pop out what you wanted to. So you've got
this hallway/driveway/ramp.
Yeah.
They were, so the Hot Pockets weren't a meal. They were a perfect snack. They, you know, we struggled to get them out fast enough. We had this dead space, and my partner John, John is creative. John is weird. John will always make lemonade out of lemons, whatever you want to say, you know. Scott, you're fucking weird.
Make a beer holder out of dreadlocks kind of guy.
So Johnny was like, we could put a wood fire pizza oven in here. And I was like, John, I am not.
On the second floor?
About to put a wood fire pizza in here. He's like, no, hear me out. You know, I met Matt DeFazio. They met through this.
He actually met DeFazio.
Yeah, they met through this like education program.
You're part of the family
you're
now.
You're part of the family now.
The two of them
went back and forth as to how this could work. And I will be the first one to say that it was the dumbest, most ridiculous idea that how can we add a wood fire pizza oven in this tiny little space? But we have pulled it off, so I would say in the next 2 weeks we should be open.
You have no idea what you have gotten yourself into. Yeah, yeah. You are going to be gangbusted.
I cannot.
I noticed you got a couple of the area's most talented actors to do a commercial for you. That was fantastic. You're really pulling out all the stops.
Well, there was one good-looking guy in that commercial.
True.
Yeah, it was True Master. Sorry.
So yeah, Jeff.
Well, was that other guy like was Jeff? Geoff?
Some radio schmuck.
Geoff.
I think we're gonna have to invite Rick back for another episode. We've got special guests lined up for episode 12, 13.
Rick, just come back for
Rick, will you come back for a future episode of Agricultural X?
Yeah, you and John can talk barrels on.
Yeah, if
live.
We can hang out and drink beer and eat pizza and do LSD and play IKEA versus Swedish Auto.
Can we do one more round?
It's always a different game.
Where do you find this stuff, Jeff?
Don't worry about me. IKEA product or Scandinavian author?
Are you okay? What was that noise that just came out of your mouth?
Did that come out of his mouth?
Final round. IKEA product or Scandinavian author? Yes, Rick.
Is this a lightning round?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Lightning round. You know the point of the game now. Indrioson, Indrioason, is that an IKEA product or a Scandinavian author?
It's actually Indrioson.
Author for sure.
Author for sure.
Nope, that's a bed.
I'm going with outpatient procedure.
Nope, that's a pillow. I'm going to hit eventually.
I'm going with the newer electric bicycle.
I'm definitely adding that as an option next time. IKEA product, Scandinavian author, or outpatient surgery.
You'll be home in 6 hours.
It's an Icelandic writer of crime fiction. Rick, you are 100% so far in this game. Lightning round continues. Fossum, F-O-S-S-U-M.
That's Fossum. A pillow.
That's a pillow, Alex.
S-S-S-O-M.
F-O-S-S-U-M. Fossum.
IKEA product. And it's, oddly, a duvet cover.
You're going to hit eventually.
Yes. Yes, that is definitely a duvet.
All right.
That's Dieter.
A fossum is the only Icelandic marsupial.
No. Oh. Karen Fossum is a Norwegian author of crime fiction.
But Rick, she also
I finally got you.
But you forgot the other
part. I don't know anything about Norway.
There were no Norway
seconds as a duvet cover.
The Icelanders hate the Norwegians.
I didn't read further.
I'm going to have to tell Mimi that you're doing this on the company time.
This is EQX printer paper, high quality. And ink. She actually found it on the printer today, and she says, this one is Tred's stupid-ass games. She thought it was really? Tred's. So,
I thought you were going to tell us you had Mimi doing this.
Yeah. I won't tell her if you give me those tickets.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick, for coming on two episodes of Agricultural X. We're going to have you on in the future. We really do love you and appreciate you. You are around the clock. And anybody listening to this, AlbanyDistillingCompany.com. AlbanyDistilling.com. All right. Find out where you can get their products. Check out DeFazio's Pizza and the 75 Livingston Ave. Nothing but future success. Thank you guys from Indian Ladder Farms for wanting to do this agricultural
We got AD Co. in the bottles. You can sample it here when you come and visit
and
the farm.
You can have our cider.
I'm glad they're keeping it in the bottles.
Beautiful.
It's in the
synergy.
Bottles. It's in the bottles.
It's in a bottle
you.
Here.
Thank you for having me here.
Share Agricultural X with all your friends and family.
Clinkies.
And I hate Frank.
Everybody does.
You've been listening to Indian Ladder Farms Cidery and Brewery owner-operator Dieter Gehring. It's head brewer Scott Veltman. And it's head cider maker Alex Gill. The producers and engineers are Troy Pohl and Ian Carlton. Any questions, comments, thoughts, or suggestions can be directed to podcastilf@gmail.com. That's podcastilf@gmail.com. I'm Jeff Morad. Thanks for listening. See ya!